Good evening, this is Archdeacon Steve West, the parish priest of St. Barnabas Parish in the Anglican Church in the Diocese of Trinidad and Tobago. I welcome you to reflection on this, the second Sunday in Lent, year A. The readings for today, Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 to 4a, Psalm 121, Paul's Epistle to the Romans, chapter 4, verses 1 to 5 and 13 to 17, and the Gospel of John, chapter 3, verses 1 to 17. Let us pray. The Lord is here, and we will praise Him. The Lord is here, and we will worship Him. The Lord is here, and we will trust Him. The Lord is here, and we will honor Him. The Lord is here, and He has called us to give Him all the glory. Amen. Come and worship the living God, the Savior of the world. Come and worship the one who died and was raised again. Come and worship the Spirit, who renews and empowers us to be God's people and to offer God our thanks, our praise, and our worship. Amen. Lord, you are the God of truth and grace. You alone know what is in all our hearts and minds. You know where we have fallen short of living lives that bring glory to you. We have come to praise you for the promise of new birth. Fill us with your Holy Spirit, that we may all have the joy and the power to begin again. In Christ's name, Amen. Our first hymn, All Hail the Power. CPWI 246. We pray the collect for the second Sunday in Lent, followed by our parish prayer. O God, whose glory it is always to have mercy, be gracious to all who have gone astray from your ways, and bring them again with penitent hearts and steadfast faith to embrace and hold fast the unchangeable truth of your word, Jesus Christ, your Son, who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns, one God, forever and ever. Amen. Our reflection today is entitled Spiritual Rebirth. Spiritual Rebirth. In the face of humankind's disobedience to God at creation, God desired to rescue us from brokenness, evil, violence, sin, and death. It is God's desire to restore all of creation. God chose to do this by way of God's people, whom God calls God's own. God therefore chose Abram, a man of faith, and his wife Sarai to be the genesis of God's people. In the book of Genesis chapter 9, we learn that Abram is the old elder son of Terah, who is a descendant of Noah's eldest son, Shem. Genesis chapter 9, verses 15 to 19, and chapter 11, verses 10 to 26. Terah desires to move his family from the city of Ur in the east to the land of Canaan in the west. However, they never complete the journey. When they reached the city of Haran, they decided to settle there instead. Genesis chapter 11 verse 30 tells us that Abram's wife, Sarai, is barren and has no children. The Lord appears to Abram and tells him to go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. Genesis 12 verse 1. Abram was challenged to trust God by leaving that which was familiar and perhaps very suitable for his needs and that of his family to go to an unknown place that God will show him. This challenge was followed by a promise to bless Abram and to transform this childless father into the father of a great nation. God's promise was, I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and the ones who curse you, I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Genesis chapter 12, verses 2 and 3. God promises to bless all people through Abram and Sarai. Without asking a single question, Abram responds in faith. The writer of Genesis records, So Abram went as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Verse 4a. For Abram, that was a moment of spiritual rebirth. He responded to God in faith. Abram had faith in God. He believed in the Lord, and the Lord reckoned to him as righteous. Genesis 15, verse 6. Abram's righteousness came by faith in God. When God made the covenant with Abram, God changed his name to Abraham as a sign of his spiritual birth. God said, As for me, this is my covenant with you. You shall be the ancestor of a multitude of nations. No longer shall your name be Abram, but you shall be called Abraham, for I have made you the ancestor of a multitude of nations. Genesis chapter 17, verses 4 and 5. God chose Abraham and Sarah to be the patriarch and matriarch of a special covenant people who were to play a major part in God's plan to reverse the effects of humankind's disobedience at the beginning of creation. Humankind required a spiritual birth, and the covenant people, the descendants of Abraham, were to fulfill that challenge. Unfortunately, they did not. In our epistle from Romans 4, Paul points out that before Jesus, righteousness was received through trust in God. Now it is received by trusting in God's Son, Jesus Christ, whose faithfulness unto death is unsurpassed. Jesus, in his ministry, sets the stage for our spiritual rebirth. In our Gospel, from John chapter 3, verses 1 to 17, Jesus has a one-on-one conversation with Nicodemus, who comes to him under the cover of darkness. Nicodemus was a Pharisee, who was also a member of the Sanhedrin, the Jewish High Ruling Council. He does not, like many of the other Pharisees, oppose Jesus. He is genuinely seeking answers. Nicodemus begins by affirming that he recognizes that Jesus is a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God. John chapter 3, verse 2b. Jesus answered him, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." Jesus affirms that to be a part of God's kingdom requires a spiritual rebirth, a life following the principles and precepts that Jesus taught, together with the help, guidance, and direction of the Spirit of God. Nicodemus does not understand. He refers to a spiritual rebirth. He says, "How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born?" He does not realize that Jesus is not calling for a physical rebirth. That is not necessary. It is appointed for us to be born physically only once. Jesus responds, "Truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit is spirit." Verses 5 and 6. Jesus acknowledges that in addition to the flesh, that is our bodies, we have a spirit that is in the image of God, who is spirit. It is the spirit that gives life. John chapter 6, verse 63. Our spiritual nature needs our attention. We need to experience a spiritual rebirth. We are reborn by the water of baptism, when we are affirmed as a child of God, when we become members of Christ's body, the church, and inheritors of God's kingdom. A spiritual rebirth enables us to live as a child of God, that is, having a relationship with our Heavenly Father, recognizing that we have received the gift of God's Holy Spirit. the Holy Spirit, who endows us with gifts of the Spirit to enable us to take our place in ministry in the body of Christ, the Church, and in the world. The Holy Spirit, who enables us to demonstrate kingdom values and be able to convince others of God's love for us. With a spiritual rebirth, our spirit will be guided and directed by God's Holy Spirit, Jesus' parting gift to us. Jesus promised in John 16, verse 13, "When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own, but will speak whatever he hears, and he will declare to you the things that are to come." In order to be a part of God's kingdom here on earth, as humankind, we must undergo a transformation and renewal, that is, a spiritual rebirth. That comes with acknowledging the presence of the Holy Spirit dwelling in us, being in touch with the Holy Spirit, our spirit in touch with God's Spirit, who will lead us into all truth, the truth about God, the truth about ourselves and others. Then our lives will reflect the presence of a loving, compassionate God in our words and actions. Then we will be true disciples of Christ. The hymn writer Edwin Hatch expresses it this way: "Breathe on me, breath of God, till I am wholly thine, until this earthly part of me glows with thy fire divine." Amen. Let us pray. In your loving kindness, O God, have mercy and hear our prayer. Lord, in the night time of his questing, Nicodemus came to your Son wondering and puzzling over all he had seen. Come to your church and meet us as we seek to deepen our faith. Fill with your Holy Spirit all who have been baptized in your name. In your loving kindness, O God, have mercy and hear our prayer. In Abraham, we share a common heritage with people of different races, languages, and creeds. Unite all people in a common humanity. Watch over the nations and bless the families of the earth. In your loving kindness, O God, have mercy and hear our prayer. Preserve us, O Lord, from all that is evil and would do us harm. Increase in us your gift of grace and charity. Lift our gaze to the heights of your presence. In your loving kindness, O God, have mercy and hear our prayer. In the night time of our despair, we call to you for help, for relief, for healing. But with all who long for reprieve in their suffering, restore within us hope in you. In your loving kindness, O God, have mercy and hear our prayer. Lord, you came not to condemn, but to save, to give life to the dead. Look with mercy upon the children of your promise who have departed this life. Grant eternal life to all who trust in you. In your loving kindness, O God, have mercy and hear our prayer. As our Savior Christ had commanded and taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, now and forevermore. Amen. Our hymn, I Am Trusting Thee, Lord Jesus, Songs of Fellowship, 202. Let us pray. Teach us, good Lord, to serve you as you deserve, to give and not to count the cost, to fight and not to heed the wounds, to toil and not to seek for rest, to labor and not to ask for any reward, save that of knowing we do your will. And in that service we pray, O God, that you will continue to make us instruments of your peace. Where there is hatred, let us sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. And where there is sadness, joy. O Divine Master, grant that we may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive, it is in pardoning that we are pardoned, and it is in dying that we are born to eternal life, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Keep this your family, Lord, with your never-failing mercy, that relying solely on the help of your heavenly grace, they may be upheld by your divine protection, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. and may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you and give you his peace this day and always. Amen. And so we hope that you are continuing your Lenten obligations, prayer, and acts of charity and fasting. And we pray that your journey through Lent continues to be a spiritually rewarding one. Remember, we are still surrounded by the COVID virus, so continue to take your precautions. Wash your hands for at least 20 seconds with soap and water. Wear your mask, especially in crowded areas, and as far as possible, keep your distance. We pray that you will have a spiritually rewarding week, and we thank God for all the women of the world as we celebrate International Women's Day on Wednesday, the 8th of March. Our closing hymn, "All Over the World, the Spirit is Moving." Songs of Fellowship 12.